This is really, this is fascinating. Yesterday we started talking about privacy. What do you have? Privacy, a guarantee of privacy. Pat doesn't like the fact and thinks the government should regulate companies like Google, et cetera, that want to sell your information. I agree with him that I don't like companies that sell information, but I don't think the government should regulate it. The companies should just ask for permission. And if you don't like that, go to another company that will ask for permission. The reason why Google and everybody else gets away with it is because nobody really cares. Because if you really cared, you most likely wouldn't click on "I agree" without reading the terms and conditions. However, reading the terms and conditions, I think it's Apple, will take you about 15 hours to actually go through and read start to finish. So what is it that you've agreed to? A guy who knows the answer to that question begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
So, if you watch The Wonderful World of Stu, they have these great interviews with people that I find fascinating. One of the guys is Colin Hoback. Is that right, Hoback?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Colin is a guy who started a or did a documentary called Terms and Conditions May Apply. And he went through all of these terms and conditions that do apply. All of the fine print. Most of us are exactly like the scene in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where he says, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and begins to read Latin, and all the kids are like, "Give me the pen, I want to sign." Why not? We have nothing to lose. Right? I'm going through the Chocolate Factory anyway. I just want to go through the Chocolate Factory. I don't care what that says. I agree. Well, as you find out at the end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, if you stole fizzy lifting drinks and that was in the contract, well, can you actually fight when somebody has done something that you clicked "I agree" on? What did you actually agree to? And will that stand up in court? Because it takes you 15 hours to read that. Your Honor, this isn't reasonable. Well, you clicked on it.
And he's an amazing guy, and it's really an interesting thing because we all do it, and he's going to be coming up with us in a little bit because, I don't know, it's just an interesting thing to look at. All of us just sell our souls here, and none of us care. We can all say that we care, but none of us care. So he's going to go through all the stuff that he actually found in these documents. It's coming up in a few minutes, Glenn. And he kind of...
Is it going to be this break? Because I thought it was this break.
I think otherwise it's going to be next. Yeah, we can move on. But
next break, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, coming up, we want to talk about the Freedom Caucus. In fact, I'd like to spend a little bit of time right now talking about the Freedom Caucus. Coming against the Freedom Caucus, which Donald Trump is doing, and he continues to play these cards in tweets, blaming the Freedom Caucus for the non-passage of Trump Care is not a smart move. And even Sean Hannity last night came out and said, not smart.
Laura Ingraham, too.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't think I've
seen them contradict him on anything.
No.
So
what are they thinking? Well, they're thinking Steve Bannon. I don't think this is Donald Trump. This is Steve Bannon that is steering this one. Steve Bannon thinks that von Mises and limited government is all... excuse the term, mental masturbation. He believes that there's no depth to any of that. Well, I happen to think that von Mises is about as deep as you can get, and that limited government and our founding documents are about as deep as you can get. These weren't guys who, I mean, you know what? What really bothers me about all of this is here we are talking about, what is the new plan for America? What is the new system for America? These guys were deep scholars, and they studied and argued about every fallen empire, every system of government they went through, and they studied, and then they made a list, all the good things, all the bad things. How did it end? All the good things, all the bad things. How did that one end? Let's look at this one. How the good things, the bad things, how did that end? Then they found and they layered them on top of each other and said, wait a minute. The good ones lasted longer because of these ideas. The bad ones failed because of these ideas. So let's make sure we include these and none of those. It wasn't just, hey, tweet 144 characters. Or even better, von Mises bad, spending good. And that's where we're at. Are you telling me, Joe, we have to spend money to make money? Well, yeah,
that's what I'm telling you.
That's what I'm telling you. We've got to double the debt to be able to get out of debt. Really? That's the kind of thinking we're going for? Stimulus, good. Von Mises, shallow. Oh, okay. So he's taking on the Freedom Caucus, and Donald Trump said, we have to defeat those guys, and we have to defeat the Democrats in 2018. So the White House is now saying they're going after the Freedom Caucus and the Tea Party, which shouldn't be a surprise because that's what Donald Trump was doing before he ran for president. In 2012, that's where he was spending his money. In 2010, while we were all marching for small government, he was funding the people who stood against the Tea Party. So Bannon has a captive audience and a willing participant to go down that road to destroy the real conservatives, the constitutionalists in the House and the Senate.
Most people agree that Donald Trump is not conservative. And beyond that, he has always seemed to have some animosity toward conservatives. And that's what's coming out now with the Freedom Caucus. He doesn't like them. He doesn't want them to have influence. And I'm sure he'll fight against them in 2018. He'd love to have those guys gone.
Oh, sure. He'll stand against anybody
yeah.
who fights against him.
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, I think, you know, you'd think that this is the whole point, right? I mean, you know, we used to think that conservatives got into office and try to do the most conservative thing they could get away with. And it was frustrating to conservatives because we'd say, well, why are you trying to just, you know, cut short the conservative ideal? And why not just go for it, right? Like, I mean, just go for it. And instead, what we find out is that's not their ideal at all.
No.
They never had that ideal. That was not the thing. It wasn't because they felt like they were pushed around by the media or they'd get too much heat from the press and that's so they didn't go for the real conservative thing. They never wanted it. With the exception of the Freedom Caucus.
Yes.
And now they're the targets of not only the left, which they've been forever, but now also much of the right.
What kills me is how many people said they wanted the government burned down to the ground. I just want to burn the system down. I'm so tired of these people who get in and lie. And Donald Trump's going to be able to take care of those guys. Well, why? Why do you think that? Because Daddy carries a big stick. He can say things and do things that nobody else could do. He's going to get this done, and he'll burn the whole system down to the ground. Well, what you don't understand is what we talked about before. He's not burning the system down. He's going to burn the people out that were the constitutionalists, and that's what he's doing. He has co-opted the system and gotten the system to stand with him. And how did he do it? Well, all you have to do is take Mitch McConnell's wife and make her the Secretary of Transportation. Now you're going to get your support for your stimulus package. I mean, he is working the system. As we said before, he kept saying, who better to destroy the system than the guy who used the system?
the outsider.
If you tell me what your pivot point was when you discovered that the system wasn't good, but the system always worked in your favor because you knew how to play it. So you're just learning how to play it again, and you're playing the system to work in your favor, not in the favor of the Constitution, but your favor.
Well, I mean, and that's what Justin Amash tweeted in response to the attack from, you know, because Trump said, hey, the Freedom Caucus, we're going to come after them in 2018. Again, this is his own, I mean, his own party. Remember when people said that about Trump? We're going to come up with a third party candidate to go the other way. Remember how he reacted to that? This is the Republican president attacking members, elected members of his own party, saying he's going to primary them. I mean, I can't remember ever hearing a president publicly do that, though it's certainly possible. But Justin Amash responded and said, it didn't take long for the swamp to drain real Donald Trump. No shame, Mr. President. Almost everyone succumbs to the D.C. establishment. And man, it's happened fast here.
Yeah.
It's happened fast, hasn't it?
And can you imagine if this is any other Republican president saying now he's going to turn his back on the Republicans and now work with Democrats? There would be outrage from every quarter.
And that's the stuff they accused a former, like George W. Bush, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of the audience would say, hey, look at him. He's working with the Democrats. He's going across the line. He wasn't saying he was going to do it, but they were accusing him of doing it. And sometimes it was true. Here, he's just saying, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Even Paul Ryan's like, I don't know if we want to work with the Democrats on this. Even Paul Ryan. It's uncomfortable.
You don't want to work
approach.
With Democrats on health care. They're the ones that came up with this nonsense in the first place.
I mean, first of all, the health care package, and this is the craziest, only 17% approved that thing.
Yeah.
That had only 17% approval. I mean, how do you expect to gain any support? Your policy itself, no one was for. There is no support there. And you just think you can bully your way through. Yep. And I really think, and this is why I think Ivanka, which I have a real problem. I mean, Ivanka, I'm sure she is nice. I'm sure she is smart and everything else.
The problem is she's liberal. That's the problem.
Right. Well, and also his daughter.
Well, he trusts everything she says.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. We didn't elect the family.
I know.
So I don't care. However, to your point, she is very liberal.
Yeah.
And why is she?
Everybody knows it.
Right. Why is she brought in now? Because he's moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. She's not going to help temper him with the Freedom Caucus. She's going to start tempering him and moving him in the direction of working with the Democrats.
And so is her husband. And he's got them both as close advisors.
If you want to, you want to look at this the best possible way for Trump, you could say, well, number one, he's not going to primary these people. He's not going to go after them. He's just threatening them to get in line because this is his way of negotiating. And, you know, he's going to come after them hard because he knows he can switch them. And a legitimate threat to a Freedom Caucus member is, I'm going to work with the Democrats. He's not actually going to work with the Democrats. He's just saying that to, you know, manipulate the Freedom Caucus into voting his way. Mm. If you want to look at it the best possible way, maybe he's doing that. And maybe it will work. Though, as we've seen, the Freedom Caucus, I mean, Justin Amash isn't going to just bend to you because you're Donald Trump.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't care. He was elected by voters himself. He was also winning elections while Trump was winning elections.
He was also primaried by the Republicans.
Yeah, and he doesn't
care.
He strikes me as a guy who, if he loses this gig, he loses this gig.
I really like him.
I do, too. And, a lot of these guys, we have Mo Brooks coming up next hour. Who is a famous economist, to me at least, a very famous economist.
We were looking at reverting into a depression at that point. Everyone, the Fed chairman...
Well, I disagree that we were going into a depression, but go ahead.
Do you have a degree in economics?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Highest honors. Yes,
ma'am, I do. Highest honors.
The greatest clip of all time.
Yeah.
But
she would have just shut down MSNBC. That was it.
That was it, man.
Yeah, they should have just locked. Highest honors. Not just that I have a degree.
Yeah,
highest honors. I love that.
But he'll be coming up with us. He's in the Freedom Caucus as well. He also is the target of this. I mean, he's the target. I want to see how he reacts to it. Because these guys don't tend to be pushed around. The reason why you join the Freedom Caucus is because you're not going to be pushed around. If you're going to be pushed around, you can be any other member of the Republican Party. That's easy. That's the easy place. You can get pushed around. You can vote for anything that leadership recommends.
Also coming up, the truth of the Democratic Party. the history all this week on our serial of the Democratic Party.
It's a starting great party, isn't it? We're learning this
wow.
week. What a wonderful party the Democratic Party
is. They're good. Good stuff. Wow. Yeah. Good history there.
Yeah.
Quite a history.
Now that history has been whitewashed, we'll show you the Democratic Party of today, the last episode in our series, and you can find the series at glennbeck.com/serials. glennbeck.com/serials. And tweet it out to your friends, Facebook post the link. It's all free. We want you guys to have the truth about each of these subjects. Very well researched and documented. Part four airs in just a few minutes.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Members of the Freedom Caucus are under vicious assault by the media and members of their own party, including the president, for sinking the GOP health care insurance reform plan. Rhino care, Trump care, whatever you want to call it. New study out conducted by WPA Research shows that the establishment Republicans pushing for Rhino care, not the Freedom Caucus, were in contradiction to the desire of the base. All the voters on the right, they were upset. And this is no surprise. The Paul Ryans and the Mitch McConnell, they don't have support. You throw your lot in with those guys, you're going to end up the same way. The data shows overwhelming support for a full repeal and replace, and suggests that the House Freedom Caucus did the Senate and the Republicans' hopes of expanding their Senate majority a great service. If the White House and the Republicans don't learn from this lesson, I guarantee you they will lose the Senate and possibly the House the next time around. They will lose. They're out of step with the American people. And I'm not gonna cross a wall of fire, let alone the lawn, to vote for them.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
In this series, we've covered the almost inconceivable history of the Democratic Party from its inception in 1830 as a rabidly pro-slavery party through the secession of the mostly Democratic Southern states to the Civil War, Democratic Party-led Jim Crow laws and Reconstruction, all the way through one of our most racist Democratic presidents, in fact, I think one of our most racist presidents, period, Woodrow Wilson. In past series, we've discussed the horrific internment of the Japanese American citizens by another Democratic hero, FDR, and the terrible policies that he enacted that prolonged the Great Depression by 10 years and plunged us into serious debt. FDR, like Wilson before him, believed the Constitution to be inadequate, and he actually sought to change it from a charter of negative liberties, telling the government what they cannot ever do, to a charter of positive liberties, telling the government exactly what they must do. This was more along the lines of the former Soviet Union, and he called it the Second Bill of Rights. We've also featured a Democratic president, Lyndon Johnson, in the past, who, in addition to being another big fat racist, who initially opposed civil rights, he passed more egregious debt programs than all other American presidents combined, leaving us, the U.S., with unfunded liabilities today of $128 trillion. Check your watch. That number will be a lot higher in about 10 minutes. Referring to the elections of 1960 and 1964, and speaking to a black audience, Malcolm X made his feelings known about the Democratic Party.
The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years, and all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. and now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump.
So this is the real legacy of the Democratic Party. And I don't ask you to believe me. I ask you to do your own homework. Do it. Find out for yourself if what I've presented here is true. If not, drop us a note, will you? Let me know. The Democratic Party's racism is well documented. In fact, one of the Democrats' most revered senators, Robert Byrd, was a former Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan. Can't imagine thinking, hey, honey, guess what? I'm the Grand Cyclops. When he passed away in 2010, his fellow Democrats fell all over themselves in praise. To Hillary Clinton, for instance, he was a friend and a mentor.
Today, our country has lost a true American original, my friend and mentor, Robert C. Byrd. Senator Byrd was a man of surpassing eloquence and nobility.
To the KKK, a Grand Cyclops is indeed noble. But that praise became even more poignant and telling.
It is almost impossible to imagine the United States Senate without Robert Byrd. He was not just its longest serving member. He was its heart, its soul, and its historian.
Based on everything that you have seen in this serial, it does seem appropriate to refer to Robert Byrd, the Grand Cyclops, as the heart and soul of the Democratic Party, at least of the past. Ironically, of the former Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan, America's first black president said,
"May we all find comfort in a verse of scripture that reminds me of our dear friend. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." It's interesting that you've heard that passage from several speakers now, because it embodies somebody who knew how to run a good and long race, and somebody who knew how to keep the faith. With his state, with his family, with his country and his Constitution.
Amazingly unreserved and profuse praise for a man with the kind of history that Robert Byrd had, especially in light of the Democrats' excoriation of Republican Senator Trent Lott just a few years earlier.
Now, years from now, when I think of the man we memorialize today, I'll remember him as he was when I came to know him. His white hair full, like a mane, his gait steadied with a cane, determined to make the most of every last breath. The distinguished gentleman from West Virginia could be found at his desk until the very end doing the people's business, delivering soul-stirring speeches, a hint of the Appalachians in his voice, stabbing the air with his finger, fiery as ever, years into his 10th decade. He was a Senate icon, he was a party leader, he was an elder statesman, and he was my friend.
Now, we all believe in forgiveness, but it seems as though when a Republican or somebody who's not a Democrat is involved, forgiveness just isn't in the cards. Let me give you the example of Trent Lott. In 2002, he spoke at a fellow senator, Strom Thurmond's 100th birthday celebration, where he said, quote, "When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him, and we're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have all these problems over the years either," end quote. Well, that's kind of a problem. Strom Thurmond ran for president in 1948. Lott was 7 years old at the time, so he couldn't actually vote for him. The "we" he described referred to his state. And no, I'm kind of actually really glad we didn't vote for Strom Thurmond. But he was 100 years old. It was his birthday party. Say something nice and move on with your life. Still, the attack on Lott from the Democrats was vicious, and maybe it was appropriate, but definitely not consistent. It was so vicious, in fact, that Lott had to resign from leadership in the Senate. The problem for Democrats was that in 1948, during the same period Robert Byrd was the Grand Cyclops in the Klan, Strom Thurmond supported segregation. No cross-burning for Thurmond, just support in Congress for separate living space. While not right, neither was it even close to being a member, in fact, a leader in the KKK. It's also interesting and relevant to note that at the time, presidential candidate Strom Thurmond was a Democrat. Today's Democrats purport now to champion the minorities that for two centuries they persecuted and killed. But do they actually champion them? Or by pushing government assistance and continually harping about income inequality, are they actually enslaving them all over again and creating even more racial and economic discord? That's a serious conversation that Americans should have. Today's Democrats have a party that for 8 years was led by a man who was raised and mentored by communists. That isn't an insult or a slur. It's just stating a fact. And as president, Barack Obama maintained at least some of the Marxist beliefs of those around him, like redistribution of wealth.
I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for it.
He was a man who led the nation for 8 years and believed America was just like everybody else, no worse and no better.
I believe in American exceptionalism, just as I suspect that the Brits believe in British exceptionalism and the Greeks believe in Greek exceptionalism.
That's a far cry from the days of Washington or Lincoln, even FDR, John F. Kennedy, or Ronald Reagan. The Democratic Party elites of today believe that climate change is the greatest threat we face, even greater than terrorism.
Today, there is no greater threat to our planet than climate change.
ISIS renewing its call to followers to launch attacks here in the U.S.
No challenge poses a greater threat to future generations than climate change.
He was apparently beheaded by ISIS militants.
It is indeed one of the biggest threats facing our planet today.
The two suspects, brothers with assault rifles, storming that newsroom, executing editors, cartoonists.
Climate change is the threat multiplier.
In a barren desert, the mangled remains of a plane that was carrying 224
people. If another country threatened to wipe out an American town, we'd do everything in our power to protect ourselves. Climate change poses the same threat right now.
Bodies lay in the streets after multiple coordinated terrorist attacks.
And years from now, I want to be able to look our children and grandchildren in the eye and tell them that we did everything we could to protect it. Thanks, everybody.
It's a party that complained about spending under George W. Bush, then doubled America's debt in 8 years, from $10 trillion in debt accumulation from George Washington to George W. Bush, to $20 trillion during Obama's first two terms. And it was policies like this that made it happen.
Now people say, when I say that, people look at me and say, what are you talking about, Joe? You're telling me we gotta go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
It is a party that, to some, seems so obsessed with aborting babies at any stage of pregnancy, for any reason, that many in the party leadership aren't even willing to admit that their own children were human when they were inside the womb. Here's former Democratic National Chairperson Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
You have three children, correct?
I do.
What are their ages?
I have twin 16-year-olds and a 12-year-old.
And in your opinion, were they human beings before they were born?
You know, I believe that every woman has the right to make their own reproductive choices.
What did you believe about your children, though?
That I had the right to make my own reproductive choices, which I was glad to have, a right which I was proud to have.
So were they human beings, or yes, just yes or no?
They're human beings today, and I'm glad that I had an opportunity to make my own reproductive choices as a right that every woman has and should maintain.
But somehow or another, those who oppose Democrats are called fanatics for trying to protect human life in the womb. And the Democratic Party today is a party that recently nearly made Congressman Keith Ellison the head of the Democratic National Committee. So you know a little bit about Keith. While he was a U.S. congressman, He was also a man who had dabbled in 9/11 conspiracy theories. He has spoken frequently at fundraisers for CARE, an organization that was an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terror financing trial in American history. CARE is also banned as a terror group in the United Arab Emirates. Keith also, from 2009 up until the present day, has engaged with several figures who are close to the Palestinian terrorist organization, Hamas. And in 2009, he met with a man described by the FBI as a fundraiser for the terrorist group Hamas. And in the end, because they wanted to make sure that everybody knew they didn't stand for those kinds of policies, rather than voting for Ellison as the DNC chair, the DNC just made him deputy chairperson. The Democratic Party today is so far to the left that John F. Kennedy wouldn't recognize it, nor have a place within it. It all comes back to its roots. Not only the roots that were planted in the early 1800s, but then again, the seeds sown by Woodrow Wilson over 100 years ago. They all have years ago borne their rotten fruit, and those progressive roots have now completely choked off and eliminated any moderate fruit that might have once existed.
Starting next week, in an exclusive serial on the Glenn Beck program, you'll learn about the most underrated president of all time, Calvin Coolidge. Listen to the entire catalog of serials anytime at glennbeck.com/serials.
Next week, beginning next Tuesday, is Calvin Coolidge, and we've been doing research on him now for a few weeks. You are going to love this guy.
You will fall in love with him.
You are just going to love this
guy. You think you like Ronald Reagan, you will love Calvin Coolidge.
Yes. Ronald Reagan, who surprisingly is Ronald Wilson Reagan,
yeah,
named after Woodrow Wilson. Uh-huh. But he was aware, grew up in the times of Coolidge, and it changed him. It cemented in his head what an American president was. And he said Coolidge was his favorite president. And Reagan, as much as you like Reagan, Reagan is a mimeograph. Now think about how smudged and, I mean, they smelled nice, but think how smudged those things were. He was not a Xerox copy of Coolidge. He was a mimeograph. And when you see the real document, when you see the real president and the real conservative constitutionalist, boy, oh boy, are you going to love him. Coolidge next week.
Back.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad you're here. We come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Freedom Caucus and the bill that should have been proposed and passed with the guy who proposed the one-line repeal of Obamacare.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.